top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Wednesday, March 20th, in the headlines. Pastor Randy Rodney calls on DLP administration in office to take heed of the human crisis in Haiti, caused by political instability driven by the greed of politicians.
It happens. Local, regional.
Guyana told the UN Human Rights Committee that its citizens will decide on the issue of the death penalty, even though they have no plans to boost the capacity to execute anyone under current laws. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin assured NATO allies of U.S. President Biden's commitment to support Ukraine. But Speaker Mike Johnson refuses to call a vote on a bill to provide $60 billion in aid for Ukraine.
Only on Cue.
The news is brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading Agents of Beacon Insurance Limited. Cue.
To a certain age, different things drive you. Like the anticipation of a new adventure, the comfort of having friends who become family, or just enjoying that journey to the next destination. At Beacon, we've given our 50-plus drivers more value and greater convenience with hassle-free sign-up, affordable fixed rates, and free benefits. Call Archipelago Trading at 448-5247 or log on to beacondominica.com for a quote today. And let us help you keep doing what drives you.
President of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney, is advising the government of Dominica to take a page from the retaliation of the people of Haiti towards their government and why Haiti's government collapsed, an unfortunate turn of events caused by the greed of influential politicians who formed the government.
Haiti really and truly has been the initiator of revolutions in the Caribbean. Haiti is the first country that decided that slavery was going to be no more, you know, while the rest of us were calm and passive, just as we are now. And I believe they have that same fighting spirit. And if you understand what has happened there, they have taken plenty. They have taken a lot. And I paid attention to a couple interviews with a gentleman they call the rebel. And I understand Barbecue's position, quite honestly. All Barbecue is asking for is a government that they elect. And they want a government that they elect to do the business that should be done. And he lists so many areas that Haiti is struggling in. And what has happened over the years with varied multinational companies, even governments around the world, they have abused Haiti because they have met people who were only interested in fattening themselves at the expense of the people. And so Haiti has been at the brunt of blows from the French, from the British, from even the US, okay? At the brunt of blows all the time. When we thought that Mr. Bill Clinton was going to do help Haiti, go and check it out. Go and check the American accounts. You'll find out that Mr. Clinton did get $20 million to help Haiti. We don't know that the dollars got into Haiti and so on. So Haiti has been at the brunt of that. And some people are saying enough is enough.
Pastor Rodney is cautioning the DLP administration to do the right by the people of Dominica and increase the spending power of the citizenry. He also cautions government officials against the malpractice of self-enrichment using state assets and resources, and calls on the regime to refrain from interfering in the affairs of the Electoral Commission.
And all I'm asking is that we do what we need to do rightly. And right does not always mean that you have to pocket what you have. Begin to do what needs to be done rightly. For example, which is in the connecting thing on our talking points commentary this evening. You see this electoral reform process that Prime Minister Skerrit has been kicking down the barrel now for years and making juju bum bum out of Dominicans, that he 100 days, 200 days, this one come, this one done, as soon as that report is there, and this one is done. One of those days, Mr. Skerrit have to regret that he's kicking that down the barrel, you know. I'm not asking that, I'm telling you that. He himself and all the people around him will regret. You know why? Because we all know, say, justice delayed is dust, justice denied.
And that was the president of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney, Sociologist Simeon Joseph has raised concerns after reviewing the IMF's March 16th report on Dominica's economic outlook. He calls on officials responsible for gauging the state of the economy and the financial power of citizens and residents to conduct the necessary studies, consensus, and surveys, which will provide much-needed data to improve economic policy to the benefit of all Dominicans.
And when we listen to the IMF report, what does that say about the economics of the country? But these are just written reports. To me, this is where I'm going to answer your question. The greatest report in Dominica is not the state of our economy or the state of our legal system. The greatest report in Dominica is what is the state of the Dominican people? What is the state of our young people, our elderly? What is the state of our public servants? What is the state of our unemployed? What is the state of our farmers and our fishermen and our carpenters and our plumbers? What is the current state? What is the report that these people can now say about Dominica? And to my mind, the fulcrum in all of this discussion has to be stability. And so we have to think of what is our economic stability and what is our political stability? Two heavyweights upon which the development of any country rests.
While speaking on Q95's Global View on Q program on Tuesday, Mr. Joseph further explained the key indicators which should be explored when attempting to determine real economic development in the country.
If the economy refers to the wealth and the resources of a country, and it is dependent on the relationship between the basic of supply and demand, if economic stability is supposed to occur when the economy is strong and inflation and unemployment rates are low, when consumer spending is supposed to be high and there's an average increase in income and businesses are thriving, that's when you gauge whether a country has a certain level of economic stability. These are the ingredients for economic stability.
Sociologist Simeon Joseph. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrita spoke to the light of the Haitian people in Haiti, who currently do not have a functioning government or under a state of emergency. He seems to be convinced that the international community has not given as much attention to the issues in Haiti as they have in other countries.
I mean, the situation is very serious, very, very serious. And I believe that the international community has not placed the kind of seriousness and attention on Haiti that it has placed on other parts of the world. It's a war between Russia and Ukraine. You know, we've poured in billions of dollars into Ukraine, and it's fine. They need it. We're not grudging them. But Haiti needs help. Haiti needs help. And there are some who have promised the help, but the help is not forthcoming. Now, I understand that there are certain complications in Haiti with regards to the gangs and the violence and no government institution function and so forth. But where there's a will, there's a way. And I believe that there's not really a deep-seated will. And therefore, we have been unable to find a more direct path towards assisting Haiti with its challenges.
Prime Minister Skerrita stated that CARICOM leaders have met with the temporary leadership of Haiti in efforts to help them define a Haitian-led solution, providing guidance and logistics with all stakeholders in Haiti in efforts to resolve many of the leadership and economic issues facing the country at present. However, the current Haitian consulates apparently rejected CARICOM's proposals for fresh elections, among other things.
From the CARICOM standpoint, what we have sought to do is to seek to lead the way in working with the Haitian people, in putting them together getting them to understand that they need to define a Haitian-led solution to Haiti's situation. So what we've been doing is to provide the logistical support, the guidance, the encouragement of all of the actors in Haiti. And we've met with all of the actors in Haiti, political parties, church leaders, the business community, civil society, former prime ministers, former presidents, former ministers, you name it, we have met with them in Haiti. And so this is the kind of support we've been providing. I know that the Haitians have been meeting among themselves as stakeholders to look at the possibility of establishing a transitional presidential council that would help pave the way for setting a date for elections and ensuring that the conditions to host free and fair elections in Haiti is in place, and that, you know, the humanitarian crisis can be put to an end, and that the security issues can be abated, and so forth. And of course, Prime Minister Ari has indicated that he will resign as Prime Minister once this transitional presidential council is established.
Prime Minister Roosevelt's character. Earlier today, six students from the Dominica State College were awarded scholarships by the Dominica Cifical Alumni Association to support their academic endeavors at the college. The funds were raised through the association's organized Sunset Charity event. Hermesia Eugene, Dean of Academic Affairs at the Dominica State College, highlighted that students were chosen based on both financial need and academic excellence, recognizing their dedication to excelling in their studies at the state college.
Good morning, everyone. As Ms. Christian said, I am Dr. Eugene, sometimes called Dr. Eugene Zamo. I'm the Dean of Academic Affairs at the Dominica State College, and it was really a privilege to have my students in to receive this scholarship. Choose a student from, at least one student from every faculty. We did also choose a student from the Faculty of Applied Arts and Technologies. So today we have our six students. These students were not chosen just based on need, but because of performance as well. So these students are performing way above average, and these students need assistance so they can continue that step. So I will start off with the largest faculty, Faculty of Arts and Sciences. It is Diana, Marcin, and then from the Faculty of Applied Arts and Technology, Mr. Matthew. From the Faculty of General Studies, Ms. Ayn. And from the Faculty of Health Sciences, Ms. Vital.
And that was Hermansia Eugene, Dean of Academic Affairs at the Dominica State College. Meanwhile, a finance officer of the Dominica Cifical Alumni Association, Nicholas Bruno, emphasized the organization's commitment to promoting collaboration among alumni for the betterment of Dominica's overall development.
The Dominica Cifical Alumni Association, DSAA, serves as a unifying platform for graduates of past institutions such as the Sixth Form College, Technical College, Clifton Dupini College, the Nursing School, the Teachers Training College, and now known collectively as the Dominica State College. DSAA is the recognized alumni of the Dominica State College. The association was founded about 3 years ago, and as our mission states, to harness and leverage the collective expertise, resources, and passion of our alumni network to actively engage in activities that advance the socioeconomic and educational landscape of Dominica. We foster collaboration and camaraderie among alumni to contribute meaningfully to the holistic development of Dominica. Through advocacy and strategic partnerships, we aim to address social issues, empower individuals through education and mentorship, and execute community projects and initiatives that are far-reaching and create lasting impact. Our partnership with Dominica State College has included donation of subject awards and prizes at the last three commencement ceremonies, as well as a few other small ventures. The relationship with Dominica State College has just begun. It's new. We look forward to continuing to support and work alongside the DSC in support of its strategic goals.
Finance Officer of the Dominica Cifical Alumni Association, Nicholas Bruno. Trudy Christian, the organizer of the 2024 Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition, has disclosed that the semi-final round of the event is set to unfold on March 25th, 2024 at the Fort Young Hotel. The stage will feature a double-header competition, with four schools vying for victory, promising an intense and engaging showdown.
The semi-final round of the inter-secondary schools debating competition takes place on March 25th, and there are two big debates lined up for that day. The St. Mary's Academy will be taking on the Alpha Waldron SDA Academy, and interestingly, this is the second time that these two schools are meeting each other in the semi-finals. We'll see what the result will be, but they will be debating on the topic, "It is the responsibility of the government to urgently implement strategies to mitigate the damaging impacts of brain drain in Dominica." So the St. Mary's Academy and the Alpha Waldron SDA on March 25th at 2 p.m. at the Fort Young Hotel will be debating on this topic relating to brain drain in Dominica.
Christian has stated that the primary objective of the competition is to actively involve young people and aid in refining their public speaking skills, as well as empowering them to articulate their viewpoints on matters of public interest.
Right after, in what we call a doubleheader, we have the next debate of the semifinals. That will be the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School taking on the Orion Academy. And their topic is, "Dominican youth have been given sufficient opportunities to positively impact the economy." So these young people will be debating on the youth and the economy. Very interesting topic. 3:30 p.m. for the ITSS going up against the Orion Academy. So once again, the inter-secondary schools debating competition aims to really engage young people and assist with this ability that people should have with public speaking and being able to discuss issues of importance in a public space. And the four schools in the semifinals are the St. Mary's Academy, the Alpha Waldron SDA Academy, the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, and the Orion Academy. We'll see which two schools make it to the finals.
Trudy Christian, the organizer of the 2024 Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment, Lucian Blackmore, is urging citizens of Dominica to acknowledge the deep importance of the island's forests in sustaining not just the economy, but also the identity and resilience of its people amidst the challenges posed by climate change. He emphasized that the forests not only provide a cornerstone for the agricultural sector, but also plays a crucial role in boosting the island's tourism sector.
"As we embark on this wayfinding journey, it is essential to recognize the profound significance of our forests in sustaining not only our economy, but very importantly also our identity and resilience in the face of climate change. Not only does Dominica rich biodiversity provides the foundation for our agricultural industry, it likewise serves as a major attraction to tourists seeking the experience of our unique flora, fauna, and other exclusive forest ecosystems of our island, resulting in diverse revenue generation and livelihood opportunity. Beyond economic consideration, our forests are depositories of traditional knowledge and cultural heritage, particularly within the Carinago community. Preserving our biodiversity is integral to safeguarding this invaluable cultural legacy and creating economic opportunities through nature-based tourism, agriculture, and of course, other traditional enterprises."
Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment, Lucian Blackmore. In other news, Guyana has told the United Nations Human Rights Committee that its citizens will decide on the issue of the death penalty, even though there are no plans by the government to boost the capacity to execute anyone under the current laws. The country's governance minister said a similar process was undertaken between 1999 and 2001, and the popular view was that the death penalty should remain on the books. She told the agency that there is no view in Guyana right now that they will go back to execution of any kind, and so it is an ad hoc or informal memorandum that they have maintained from 1997 to now. She added that to further strengthen their argument, the government has put no heads of prison service, no heads of the Ministry of Home Affairs, and no investments of funds into developing any capacity to execute anyone. Guyana has not carried out an execution since 1997, and political and legal observers said that although the death penalty has not been removed from the constitution or the statute, the matter will have to go back to parliament. Guyana and other Caribbean countries have come under pressure from several international agencies, including the International Commission Against the Death Penalty, to abolish the death penalty that they consider to be cruel and inhumane punishment. And U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on Tuesday warned that Ukraine's survival was in danger and sought to convince allies that the United States was committed to Kyiv, even as Washington has essentially run out of money to keep arming Ukrainian forces. Republican House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson is refusing to call a vote on a bill that would provide $660 billion in more aid for Ukraine.
We will not walk away.
U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was in Germany on Tuesday to convince European allies that the United States was committed to continued support for Ukraine.
Ukraine won't back down, and neither will the United States.
But experts say Austin faced a skeptical audience at a meeting known as the Ukraine Defense Contact Group, as the U.S. Congress continues to delay critical aid for Ukraine.
The United States will not let Ukraine fail.
Austin did not say how the U.S. would support Ukraine without additional funding and did not specifically mention Congress. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson has so far refused to call a vote on a bill that would provide $60 billion more for Ukraine.
Ukraine's survival is on the line.
In the meantime, the White House has been scrambling to find ways to send assistance to Ukraine, as officials say the lack of funding available is already having an impact on the battlefield, and Ukrainian forces are having to manage scarce resources.
Let's not kid ourselves. Putin will not stop at Ukraine. But as President Biden has said, Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that it needs to defend itself.
Last week, the Biden administration said it would send $300 million in military assistance to Ukraine, but said it was an extraordinary move after unexpected savings from military contracts the Pentagon had made. Officials have not ruled out that they could find additional savings, but they say that amount would not be enough to make up for the lack of congressional action. U.S. officials say the reality is that without the United States, European support for Ukraine will not be enough to fend off Russian forces. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that Russia is preparing for a new offensive against Ukraine, starting in late May or the summer.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Pastor Randy Rodney calls on DLP administration in office to take heed of the human crisis in Haiti,
wherever,
caused by political instability driven by greed of politicians.
Five, the big station.
Guyana told the UN Human Rights Committee that its citizens will decide on the issue of the death penalty, even though they have no plans to boost the capacity to execute anyone under the current laws. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin assured NATO allies of U.S. President Biden's commitment to support Ukraine. But Speaker Mike Johnson refuses to call a vote on a bill to provide $60 billion in aid for Ukraine.
The Big Station.
The news was brought to you compliments Archipelago Trading, agents of Beacon Insurance Limited.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local.